that all kind of provides a segue for what we're going to be looking at this morning. You know, normally we operate in sermon series. We just finished a series on the thrill of hope, and we're going to be jumping in next week to the start of a new series on the kingdom of God, the Gospel of Luke, which is actually part two of what we started in the fall. In the fall, if you're around, you know, we went through the first 11 chapters of Luke, and you probably are going, for those of you who are compulsive, hey, I can't stop here, we've got to finish it. I'm compulsive too, we are going to finish it, so we're beginning the second half of that next week, and we'll complete the Gospel of Luke over the next 12 weeks in a series that goes on. Today's going to be a one-off deal where we're going to be talking a little bit about vision, about the whys of you and me and us being here together as Living Stones Church, and the hows that then flow from the whys that we're here for. I'm doing it because I think at least once a year, we need to talk about what it is that we're all about, why we're doing what we do and how we go about it, because among other things, it does create a unity as we understand what we're doing. And vision, as we're talking about it in terms of the church and in terms of individual lives, is important for all of us. If you're here today and you're a visitor and you're going, uh-oh, did I jump into a church business meeting? No, you did not. This applies to you too. It's about the vision that God wants for everybody who's involved in his kingdom. Let's look at Proverbs 29:18 to kind of set the stage for that. Proverbs 29:18. New American Standard Translation at least says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Other translations say, where there is no vision, the people go astray. Where there is no vision, the people run wild. Where there is no vision, things don't work out the way they're supposed to. But happy is he who keeps the law. The idea is that we need to have an understanding of what God's vision is for the church, big picture, and what our vision is that flows from his vision. Now, God's vision for the church is something that Jesus gives us very explicitly and clearly in Matthew chapter 28. It's called the Great Commission. A lot of you have that memorized, but let's take a look at it. Matthew chapter 28, please. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the mission God's given us. So we don't need to work too hard on figuring out what the big picture mission is. For us, we talk about it with a little bit different language. We want to reach people, equip people, and send people. We want to reach as many people as possible with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to equip people in the things of God and in the knowledge of Scripture and in the understanding of their giftings in the Holy Spirit. And then we want to send them out. We want to send them out. We want to do that on an ever-increasing basis. It's the idea that we need to be intent on this mission. Now, anytime somebody has a mission, it's always supported by beliefs. Beliefs support the mission. And we have some summaries that we provide, a summary of what our beliefs are that support this mission that we believe we have. The summary, a lot of you are familiar with, is what we call the four pillars of faith. That is, number one, that God is good. We believe and remind each other repeatedly that God is good no matter what circumstances look like. God has declared himself good. His character proves himself to be good. His faithfulness through the centuries has shown that he is a good God and in a good mood with his children. Number two, we're living from a victory that Jesus Christ won on the cross and not trying to earn our forgiveness, not trying to earn the love and acceptance of the Father. It came by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, we believe that nothing is impossible for our sovereign God. Nothing's impossible for God, nor is anything impossible for the one that God equips and releases into doing anything to the fulfillment of his will. And then number four, finally, that each of us has been uniquely created by God, Ephesians 2:10. In a sense, you were created and placed at this time in history for the completion, for the fulfillment of a role God had for you in the completion of the Mosaic call, the kingdom of God, which goes on for eternity. And so with those beliefs in place, foundational beliefs in place, we then understand what the mission is, and those things then propel us into the particular vision that God wants us walking out. And what I want to tell you today, if you didn't already know it, we have an agenda for you. We have an agenda for you that hopefully meshes with the agenda that you have for yourself before God. And we express that agenda also with 4 points, very simply. The agenda that we have for you, the agenda we believe, again, that God has for you that comes under this mission is this. Number one, we want you to know God. To know God. That's the first and most important thing that comes with any of us, that comes for any of us. And knowing God is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the only way to come to know God. And that's got to be the first thing. That's got to be the priority. You know, I was doing a little word research on that word priority. You know, when you research words, that's called etymology. Etymology is looking at the root of words. And priority actually has an interesting root system. If you look up the word priority, you find that priority, the origins of it, was in the 1400s. And when that word priority first came into the English language, it was singular, priority. It meant the very first or prior thing. And it stayed singular for the next 500 years. It was only after we got well into the 1900s that we pluralized the term and started talking about priorities. Somehow we thought that we're now able to have multiple first things. And that is kind of a picture of how we now sometimes approach God, that he's one of several first things. The idea is, no, he is the one and the only first thing from which everything flows. And so we want people, number one, first and foremost, to know God. Number two, the second thing is we want to have people find freedom. Find freedom. That's the second part of the vision fulfilling the mission. Have people find freedom. Now, we talked last week about the whole idea that Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross frees us from the punishment, the penalty of sin. But we also looked at the idea that Jesus Christ's death on the cross not only frees us from the penalty, but from the bondage of sin. The idea is we want people to be able to find freedom from all issues that keep us from being the best versions of ourselves. In John chapter 8, Jesus talked about this as being the essence of what it means to be a Christian. I mean, you ask somebody, what does it mean to be a Christian? And you think about that a little bit, and you come up with all kind of words and ideas, but it's very simple. I mean, why do you go on a diet to lose weight? Why do you exercise to get healthy? Why do you become a Christian? To be free. To be free. Yeah, I know there's a lot of other things involved, but Jesus in John chapter 8, he said, this is what it's about, freedom, to be free, free from the bondage of sin, free from the lies that keep us bound in sin, even when in fact we are free. And so the idea is we want people to come to know God, and then we want people to find freedom. Find freedom from the lies that keep them bound up and to walk out of it. It's letting go of the old things of the past. It's understanding that an exodus factor needs to come into play. You got to step out of some old things to step into the new things that God has for you. It's like with Israel coming out of Egypt. They had to leave Egypt in order to get to the new thing that God had. And for us too, to find freedom, we've got to understand how to step out of the old and into the new. Number three, third thing, again, number one, know God. Number two, find freedom. Number three in this vision is discover your purpose. Discover your purpose. Get past the idea that you came off an assembly line like everybody else. Get past the idea that maybe you're an accident. Get past the idea that you are anything other than a masterpiece created by God, a one-of-a-kind creation, one who was created by God and placed at this point in history for specific purposes that God has had in store for you since before the beginning of time. Now, in order to discover your purpose, it means in 2019, you may need to stretch yourself a little bit. Some people think, well, okay, I know God. I think I found freedom to a degree. Discovering my purpose, I'm still kind of iffy on that because nothing seems to come easily for me. Well, okay, get past that idea. Just because you're gifted by God, just because he does have a purpose for you, walking in that purpose does not necessarily mean it's going to be an easy thing. You need to understand the Goldilocks rule. How many know the Goldilocks rule? Okay, not probably. Okay. Goldilocks rule is this. Remember this, that when you're stepping into your purpose, when you're learning to do the things that God designed you to do, it's going to require a stretching beyond what's easy, not a stretching into something you're incapable of doing. Not too hard, not too easy, just right. That's the Goldilocks rule, okay? And that's what you need to expect in 2019. And every subsequent year, as you stretch, as God stretches you into the new things he has for you, it's going to take you beyond what is comfortable, but it's not going to be too hard and not too easy, but it's going to be just right because it's what you were created for and what you were created to do. So know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and then together as a church, we make a difference. That's why Jesus put the church together. That's why the explanation of how the church works was put out in the epistles in the New Testament. As a church together, we make a difference. Now, that's a hard thing because what we're talking about is to make a difference, it does mean working together. Yes, there are individual giftings. Yes, people have individual callings in their life, but it's a fitting together as living stones, as 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us, that really puts us in the place of occupying the position that God wants us occupying. What happens really when you come to Jesus? You move out of the starring role in your life, and Jesus moves into the starring role. You and I become people who are in a supporting role. And so that's how we make a difference. First and foremost, we step back. We let Jesus be the star. And all of us together are the supporting role to add to his fame as the kingdom of God is extended. I mean, the idea here as we're sitting here, and you hear this, hopefully you have understood the mission to reach, to equip, to send, the Great Commission. Hopefully it is undergirded for you by beliefs such as God is good, we're living from a victory, Jesus has won, nothing's impossible with God, and you're designed for a purpose. And hopefully, you buy into the vision, whether you're part of Living Stones or not, that God's desire is for people to know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. The question for you as you begin 2019 is, where are you on that spiritual continuum? Where are you on that spiritual continuum? And what is the next step that God has for you? Because God has a next step for every single one of us in here. Now, the problem is, for a lot of us, as we begin 2019, you're just not moving. You're staying in place. You're not taking the next step. And I think part of what I'm supposed to tell you today is, it's time. It's time. It's time to take the next step. I mean, maybe you've driven through Kona before and you've experienced this. You're driving around through Kona, you pull up to a traffic light, let's say on Kuakini Highway, and the light's red, and there's somebody in front of you, and then the light turns green, and the person in front of you doesn't move. They're just looking down kind of between their legs like this, and you know what they're doing. They're checking social media, they're texting, and they're not moving even though the light's green. And so what do? Well, very politely, yeah, very politely, honk, 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 get moving. Well, okay, part of my job this morning is to tell you, honk, 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 it's time to get moving. God's got the green light here for you in 2019. He's got the green light, and he's saying some of us are sitting at the stoplight. It was red, maybe you were supposed to pause, maybe there was a waiting that was supposed to be going on, but the light's green now, and you're supposed to be moving. You're supposed to be moving ahead in the purposes that God has for you. You're supposed to be moving ahead to at least determine and discover what those purposes are. It's time for you. It's time for us. It's time to leave things from 2018 behind and move on. It's time to leave things from 2008 behind and move on. Let's look how Jesus talked about this in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Also, another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, that's actually kind of harsh sounding, you know, when you read through it. But again, what it's talking about is back to this matter of priorities. It's back to the matter of where the first place is going to be occupied. It's a call, again, to move on from old habits, to move on from old hurts, to move on from old failures, and to understand it's a new day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18 says it pretty clearly. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things from 2018, the old things from 1997 passed away. Behold, new things have already come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The whole idea is you can't start the next year if you keep rereading last year. You can't start the next chapter in your life if you keep rereading the past chapters in your life. You've got to be ready to let go. You've got to be ready to move on beyond those things into the future that God has in front of you. Now, with that established individually, let's just talk for a couple minutes here on the bigger vision of church, on the bigger vision of what that stuff is all about when the Bible talks about church and when we look at it. I mean, when we look at what Jesus did, he came to establish the church to carry out the commission that he left it with. When we talk about the church, when we talk about what we are as Living Stones Church, what we're looking at primarily is the idea that we are a missions base in Kona, Hawaii. We're a missions base in Kona, Hawaii. I mean, we have to keep repeating that because sometimes we fall back into some traditional way of thinking about it, which actually isn't traditional, but a deviation from the traditional, because the traditional mode for church has always been as a missions base wherever it was located. A missions base that, yes, is intent on caring for the needs of the people who are a part of it, but more than that, is to infiltrate the community in which it is located in order to accomplish the purposes that God had of reaching, of equipping, of sending, of seeing people know God, find freedom, discover the purpose that they have for them, God has for them, and moving on. Some people sometimes will ask, how much of our church budget goes to missions? And my answer is the same every time. 100% of our church budget goes to missions because it's all about the mission that we have to see the kingdom of God extended. Some of it goes overseas. Most of it is spent right here because we believe God has put us right here. I mean, think about it this way. If God sends you out not to Honolulu with Kumu and his team, but sends you to Uganda, where actually we've been asked to come and help with some church planting there. What if God sends you out there? He sends you there into the villages to plant churches. How are you going to perceive yourself then as a church? Well, you're going to perceive yourself as a missions base, right? A missions base that's intended to reach out, to reach people, to equip people, and then to send them out to other villages. That's exactly the way it's supposed to look here. That's exactly the way it's supposed to look in the United States or Europe or wherever else you might be in a first world country. It's the idea that we've got to change the way we think about it in order to move fully into the mission that God has for us with it. I mean, when we look at Living Stones Church, what I think we ought to see is that we're part of a movement of kingdom expansion that God put in place. And what that means, among other things, is that we need to be wanting and willing to grow big and to every year grow bigger. Now, I couldn't have said this 2 or 3 years ago. 2 or 3 years ago, if somebody says, what's the main reason people leave Living Stones Church? And I'd say it's either because we don't get enough into the gifts of the Holy Spirit or we get too much into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But no more. You know what the main reason people leave Living Stones Church is now? Because they complain, you're getting too big. You're getting too big. Now, let me tell you, if that's your attitude, and okay, first of all, back up. I understand the desire and the need to be in community, to know each other, to have intimacy of relationship, and we want to have that. It's why we do 6 services instead of 1 or 2. It's why we have small groups. But if your attitude is, I don't want to be a part of a church that continues to try to get bigger, that's sick. That's sick. That's basically saying, I mean, truly, what you're saying is, you know, I'd rather see some people go to hell than me leave my comfort zone of you know, knowing everybody that I see on a Sunday morning. I mean, the idea is we need to have a mindset that wants to expand, that wants to increase, that wants to multiply. Multiply churches, multiply small groups so there's still intimacy of a relationship, but to multiply. I mean, our mindset needs to be that we want to make Kona, Hawaii the most difficult place on earth through which people can reach hell. You can't get to hell through Kona, Hawaii. That's what we want the rumor to be, you know, among demons. You can't get to hell through Kona, Hawaii. We want it to be something that is just there as we continue to do our best to extend and expand the influence of the kingdom as much as we can. We want to also be in place where we empower and release you for the work of the kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about how a church is supposed to work. You know, some people look at churches and think that it's all about like having a pastor and a worship leader and maybe a small group ministry pastor that takes care of everything. You know, that's not the picture that Paul draws under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul says, no, you got some people that do have a full-time role, but it's for the equipping of everybody to go out and do the work of the ministry. I mean, the analogy that we, you know, have borrowed and used so often is the difference in the kind of ships that you might compare a church to. Some people want a church that's an ocean liner, because you want to be on an ocean liner where somebody's meeting all your needs. I mean, you're meeting the needs of the people. You're taking care of what they need. They want something, and snap, snap, you're there to take care of it. If you've been around here a long time or even a little time, you know that we're no ocean liner. The other alternative is to be a battleship. And that's, again, maybe a more traditional church model where you've got 1, 2, 5, 10 people that are on a staff in a church, and they take care of all of the work of the ministry. And everybody else is just kind of there for the ride. They'll help if they have to once in a while, but the real work's done by the officers on deck. What we want to be is an aircraft carrier. And picture it this way. You're on the aircraft carrier when you come in here on a Sunday morning. You're bringing your fighter jet in and landing on the deck to get refueled, maybe to have some maintenance taken care of that might need to be taken care of. But then it's like, get back in that cockpit and take off for the mission that God has for you. We want to be an aircraft carrier where we're here to minister to needs, to refuel, to do what's necessary, to make sure that we're each and all equipped for what God has for us. But we want to understand that each of us occupy a fighter jet, so to speak, that is to be launched into the community as you go out from here, back to your teaching position at Kona Waena, back to the hospital if that's where you work, back to wherever your field of employment might be, and you do what you need to do to enter the battle, and then come back in again to your small group, back here next Sunday, to whatever else is going on for that maintenance as we fulfill that role of being an aircraft carrier. Again, it's not just about meeting needs, although that's a part of it, but it's about equipping people to be sent. So the question, are you engaged? Are you engaged and moving on? Are you engaged and moving on and ready now in 2019 for your next step, whatever that might be? I mean, for some of you, you've been coming here maybe now for, let's say, 4 or 5 weeks, and you're hearing this stuff about Jesus, and you've kind of picked up, maybe not so much today, but in prior weeks, the idea that the only way to know God is by trusting what Jesus Christ did on the cross, by believing that he died, and as you believe that his death was for your sins, you then are forgiven of your sins. By simply believing that, you're forgiven of your sins. You're loved and accepted by the Father, adopted into his family, and made a new creature. The next step for you is to pray, to make a confession of faith before God primarily, professing and confessing your trust in Jesus Christ, and it helps to say it to somebody else. That's one of the reasons prayer ministry is up here after every service, to let somebody else know, I've received Jesus. Could you help me in the process of exactly how to word this? And there's really no proper exact wording that comes into play, but we'll be happy to do that. Maybe your next step is water baptism. We got water baptisms coming up again on February 10th. Maybe your next step is the Alpha course and you need to sign up for it outside or get online and sign up or join in with a small group or plug into one of the ministry teams that make things work on a Sunday or join one of the outreach teams that we have that go out into the community or into the four corners of the earth. Or maybe you're supposed to start your own outreach team that's supposed to reach out and do something that we haven't even thought of yet that you might be thinking of. But the whole idea is that Jesus says in Matthew 5:13, that we are the salt of the earth. That we are, Matthew 5:14, the light of the world. That the idea is, again, we're not supposed to stay here, we're supposed to be out there. What does salt do? What does salt do? Most of you know this already. Salt brings flavor alive. Salt doesn't actually create the flavor. Salt draws out the flavors that are already in whatever you sprinkle it on. And what we're supposed to be doing as the church is we're supposed to be the salt for the islands of Hawaii, for the Kona community particularly, but all over this island and the others, or wherever God sends us. The salt that draws out the flavors that are already there. But what do we do? What do we do? Is, okay, think about it this way. Let's say you have dinner tonight and you've got salt on the table. And what do you do with the salt? You take the top off the salt shaker and you pour the whole salt shaker out into the corner of your plate. And then you, I don't know, you eat it like by itself, which is yucky, you don't like that, and it really doesn't do any good. What are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to spread it out over the whole meal. Well, what we do oftentimes is what we're doing right now, and this isn't bad. Right now, we are the salt all poured into one pile. The salt all poured into one pile right here. What good does that do? Well, it's doing good in terms of the preparation to go out and do what we're supposed to do. But if all we ever do is pile together as the salt, we're not performing the function that salt is supposed to perform. So we are piled together right now, which is commanded, in fact, in Hebrews. Don't forsake your own assembly together. But it's for the purpose of then being dispersed and spread out over the whole meal, over the whole community to draw out the flavor. And that's what we're supposed to be moving into, sprinkled over the whole thing. Now, some of us, as we move into 2019, are thinking, and maybe you're thinking it right now, you know, all of this sounds good, but I'm just not very motivated. I mean, Bill, you seem all amped up about this, but I'm not so motivated. Well, I'd suggest to you that your problem is not a lack of motivation. Your problem is a lack of clarity. Because this is what happens. If you move into 2019, if you are not clear on what God has called you to do, if you're not clear on the mission, if you're not clear with a vision, if you're not clear on these things, then you are going to lack motivation. And in fact, what we do sometimes is we look around at other people and we judge them for their lack of motivation. But the problem is not motivation, it's a lack of clarity. Once clarity comes in, once you know what God has called you to do, what he has shaped you to do, what he wants you to do, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, that clarity, once it comes in, causes motivation to become a non-issue. You've got the motivation. It immediately comes into play. And so as you're moving into 2019, right here, the first month of the year, I mean, if you're having trouble with motivation, pray for clarity. Pray for clarity. And see if that doesn't do the trick in terms of turning you where you need to be. So what we do here, again, providing the overview, because questions come in all the time. Okay, you've laid out a vision. You've told us what you want to do, what you think God has said to do in terms of impacting the community, extending the kingdom. So why aren't we doing, and then you fill in the blank on what you ask me sometimes in terms of why aren't we doing this, that, or the other. It's because we want to do less in order to do more. It's because we don't try to do everything. It's because we are not supposed to be trying to do everything as a part of a church central. We're keeping things fairly simple, and we keep it simple by doing a few things. We gather together, number one, on Sundays, just like we're doing right now. We gather together on weekends. We gather together in larger services. Number two, we have small groups that we want everybody to gather together in so they can know people and be known by people so they have pastoral care in those small groups. We want everybody to take an Alpha course so they can have the essentials established, a Financial Peace University course to see what needs to be happening in terms of handling money and other courses that are involved along the way. We want people taking Freedom Sessions, which we provide also. Freedom Sessions are going on here constantly all through the year, which are basically the opportunity for breakthrough in stepping out of lies that we believe about who we are into the truth that God says about who we are. Now, I say it's a breakthrough because that's all it does. It provides the breakthrough that's then followed by a process that continues on for the rest of our lives. We have ministry teams that operate, and what we call ministry teams are those things that operate here with the vans that brought people over from U of N or Kahalu, with the greeters that, you know, we've got 75 or so that are signed up each week. We've got the worship team. We've got the tech team. We've got the food team. We've got the Sunday school and the junior high ministry. We've got all the things that make things work here on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis, or anything else that we do in-house. And then we have what we call outreach teams that reach out into the community, that reach out overseas, and I'll talk just a bit more about what some of those things are now. But the idea is we want to keep it very simple in terms of those things so that we can continue to try to do them better and extend out into the community and do it well. We want to do what Jeremiah 29:7 suggests. That is to seek the welfare of the city where we've been placed, to be the missions base in the city where God has placed us. Jeremiah 29:7 says, "For in its welfare, the welfare of Kona, you will have welfare." We're trying to do that. We tried to do it in 2018, and we're going to try to do it better in 2019. And just to give you an overview of how we did it, in 2018, seeking the welfare of Kona and the Big Island. How we did it with dollars and time is this way. We support financially and with the people who serve as volunteers to a large extent, the Crisis Pregnancy Center here in town. We're increasing what we give them this year by a substantial amount. We helped open a new Crisis Pregnancy Center in Hilo. We have a homeless ministry that Ken Church has overseas with over 100 of you folks volunteering in rotation to feed 100 or more people on a weekly basis. We give out free Bibles to those people and others. We gave out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of free Bibles this year. We have Celebrate Recovery, now meeting two times a week and not just one time a week, to help people escape from habits, hang-ups, and hurts. We have the Kona Kids Outreach. We did have Karen Boss on staff as our children's ministry director. She still does that, but her husband Rob was on staff too. But we moved them off. Karen's still doing the children, but Rob moved off staff into a full-time position with this Kona Kids Outreach that we support in part financially and encourage them to move out into the community where they reach hundreds of kids in this community through the Queen Liliuokalani Outreach, through the Kahalu Outreach, and now they have entryway into most of the public schools here in Kona, believe it or not, with the gospel. We have vans that out there. We've got three vans that we're running right now. Two of those vans we're going to be giving to Kona Kids Outreach for their exclusive use next week and replacing them with some other vans. We have the Care Portal that Jenny Hatch-Piggott and her team began that a lot of churches are involved in, but we're so pleased to be a part of that effort. We have the Freedom Team Ministries that Lynn Tomsha and the Randersons are involved in and many others in terms of ministering to people with these steps of freedom that you're happy to sign up for. We have Vacation Bible School that previously we just ran here on site each summer and have about 150 kids show up for, but this year we stretched out and in addition to doing it here, reached into Queen Liliuokalani Subdivision, and we even did one down in Mililii Village with the kids down there an hour and a half away. We had various Mililii outreaches this year with men's outreaches down there. We've got an ongoing women's study down there in Mililii and with kids and teenager outreach. We have the Kona Hospital Chaplaincy that Lynn Tomsha heads up with her team. We've got sex trafficking awareness action groups that are in place. We have the Radiant Women's Ministry that is an outreach to women of this community. We have, in addition to the Radiant this past year, the Tea Time that we had going on this past summer that was a great outreach to the community for women. We have the men's campouts. We have the junior high and high school ministry that increased by over 50% this past year. We have a general benevolence where basically anybody that asks us for any money the first time, they just get it up to a certain dollar amount. And then they get counseling after that the second time through. We've got the children's ministry weekly here at Pine Trees that reaches over 200 kids every week. We have weekly services that touch 1,400 plus people on average every week. We had the Christmas Eve service that we talked about last week that reached over 3,000 this past week. We have the Pine Tree site that continues to grow. We just bought a trailer that we put in the parking lot out there because the children's ministry is bursting out of the rooms we had. So we've got an auxiliary children's ministry room now out of the Pine Tree site. We've got the Alpha course that's gone from once a year to twice a year, the financial piece and other courses. We baptized over 90 people this past year. And in addition to that, we had outreaches to Uganda, to Fiji. We had outreaches with Operation Christmas Child, with the Sewing Ministry, with Compassion International, with Otinawa, and we reach over 40 countries online. That's what we've been doing the past year, and we want to continue to do it better. In those 40 countries, in those 40 countries, what we also have, believe it or not, are some of those countries that are doing church with you guys right now. Live stream is going right now from the service. We also have the delayed broadcast. We got some folks in Denmark watching right now, in fact, that have asked us to come to Denmark and plant a church next year. Now, whether we do that or not depends on whether anybody raises their hand and says, I'm ready to move to Denmark. But the idea is the opportunities are out there. The fields are ripe for harvest. We want to make the most of the opportunities in 2019 and move into everything that God has for us. And as we do, we want to be very clear, and I want to be very clear on this. When we're talking about this, we're not talking about abandoning secular employment. What we are talking about is erasing the division between secular and sacred employment and understanding that 90% of you in here, even though we've got University of the Nations here in this town, 90% of you in here are still intended to be in the marketplace, are in the schools, are in the local government. That's your mission field. You're not supposed to abandon it and then sit around doing whatever else it is you think God is calling you to do. You're to do what God has equipped and called you to do. You're to remain a doctor. You're to remain an accountant. You're to remain in those things where you're called to do. Sacred employment is what God has called you to. If you're a garbage collector, and that's a great employment. I'm not saying anything diminishing that, but the idea is whatever your employment that God has called you to do, that's sacred. If you are doing something that you just want to do, whether it's preaching like this right now or going on the mission field, and it's simply something you want to do, that's secular. That's secular. It's diminishing, extinguishing that line so that we understand that we've got to get in our fighter planes and head out to whatever it is God has called us to do. That there is no division also between the natural and the supernatural in which he intends for us to operate. He is going to work in signs and wonders and miracles, but we need to, in 2019, take some very natural steps in equipping and preparing ourselves to move into the arenas where he gives us opportunities to step. Don't be waiting for the sign in the sky. Be stepping in and understanding you've got to do some hard work sometimes to make things work out the way they're supposed to. The natural is done, and then the supernatural flows. So many times we want the supernatural to come in, and then we'll naturally follow along. That's not the way it's going to work. And we want to be people that, again, understand that we're moving out into a community where greater is he who is in you than he who is in them. Sometimes what happens is we go out into the world and we want to stay away from those people because we're going to catch their cooties. We're going to somehow be polluted. You know, that is not the mentality Jesus had, right? I mean, he had so many people that were so unlike him who liked him so much. And we need to be people that not only have a good message to take with the good news of the gospel, we need to be likable. We need to be people that attract other people to us so that then we have the opening to see the gospel presented in the way it's supposed to be presented. 2019 needs to be a year in which we do everything we did before better and some more. You need to be looking at what God called you to do. Link, our executive pastor, gave me permission last service to do what we did year before last. We're offering right now again this month $1,000 scholarships to any of you. $1,000 scholarships, and this is the deal. You come up with an outreach ministry that we're not already occupying. You come up with a plan for launching it that you are willing to do yourself. This isn't an idea you create for other people to do. You come up with an idea, you launch the ministry, and we will take the top five suggestions that you come up with, and we'll fund it with an initial $1,000, and then after you go at it for a few months, if it's working, we will consider continuing to fund it on an ongoing basis to, again, be the salt and the light in this community. Now, the way it works for us with ministries, some ministries are ministries of the church that we own. Some are ministries that you do individually that we say, God bless you, and we support financially. Others you're going to come up with, and we're going to say, God bless you, hope that works out okay. But the idea is all of those are still legitimate, and you go for it. Seek God. Seek God this month for clarity. Wait on what God has to say to you for what the next step is supposed to be. Beep, beep, honk, honk, the light's green. Go for it. Go for it this year. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the great privilege of being called into your kingdom. We thank you that you've revealed the fact, the truth, that we're designed for unique purposes. And I ask that the discovery of those purposes flows into multiple lives this month, this year, that you put us in the place to step into the opportunity to make a difference in extending your kingdom, in making you famous, Lord Jesus. I ask you to enable us to understand exactly how this looks individually and together for us as a church. I ask for you to instill a fresh sense of excitement in what you intend to accomplish on this island, through these islands, and through your people to the four corners of the earth. All of it, Father, we ask in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.